Awesome. So we, every now and then, what we do is we do a sermon series, which means we don't just pitch up on a Sunday and preach whatever came to mind that week, but we think beforehand, what do we really want to spend time on? And we've been busy with relationships. Some of you have been enjoying it. Some of you have been offended by me. Some of you are very happy because of the stuff I'm saying, because I see especially the girls just slapping their husbands the whole time as I'm saying, yeah, you midleister, you midleister. Guys, you can buy me coffee to say thank you for all the words I put in for you. Can you see my face with these lights? Is that okay? Or should we try like a more of a orange light? Is okay? Awesome. So if you're standing here, it's very blue. Tonight we are having the talk. Yes. What? The talk in the dark. But now, some of you will remember it. Back then when there was 28 people in this church, we had our first sermon series. It was called Rock Solid Love. And Christelle was preaching, yeah? She's a pastor in Shofar, and she was bringing it. And then the lights went off as well. And some guys ran out of the back door, came back with candles, and it was very romantic. Some of you may be enjoying this also. Very, very important. I see they're laying the lights around. If you get up to go to the bathroom, or when we have coffee afterwards, maybe Richard, when we have coffee afterwards, take those bulbs away because we're going to smash all of them. All right. That happened last time as well. Okay, awesome. Allemaal lyk gemaklik. Ek gaan julle nou probeer ongemaklik maak. This is my work. Sorry, julle. But I know you love me. That's why you're here. I've got a video that's got nothing to do with nothing. It's not that type of video. Don't worry. But let's go for it.
I'm just stating facts of how women disrespect themselves. That's the type of stuff I deal with all the time with these girls. I've got burnt 2 times by women, okay? Women should hold themselves to a higher standard and they should respect themselves. Because that's how my mother did it. And nowadays, girls don't respect themselves.
There's 2 ways to listen to people in this world. You can listen like a guy or you can listen like a girl. When you listen like a guy, you try to solve the problem because that's what we do. We want to fix things. When you listen like a girl, you empathize. You just nod your head and agree.
I can't disagree with you. I really can't.
The only thing that she would love to hear, in my personal experience with women, they don't want the explanation. They just want to hear you say you're sorry so they can be right.
Can we give the ladies a clap in this place? Yes. There's more. That's got nothing to do with anything. Why are we doing what we're doing tonight? Why are we doing the talk? I don't know if there's something we can put off. It'll be awesome. We talk about sex in church because Madonna talk about sex every day in her songs, books she writes, lyrics. Katy Perry does it every day. Elton John does it in his different way. Lady Gaga does it. So we need to talk about it, amen? Who's going to talk about what God intended intimacy to be like? Who's going to bring God's blessing into this world if the church is silent? Right? So we do it. So I'm starting with 3 very important stuff just to get you on the right track. I want to give you 3 wonderful pickup lines. Okay? This is very helpful and it's out of the Bible. I rank them from 3 to 1 and I'll start with number 3. You can maybe shuffle them and maybe you can use them tomorrow night somewhere. I don't know. It's up to you. You can use them at intercession. If you want to. Here's the first one. Your neck is like the Tower of David. It's built in rows of stone. On it hang thousands of shields, all of them shields of warriors. I don't know what that means, but it sounds very intelligent. So guys, ladies, anyone any ladies whose heart just skipped a beat when I read that? No, okay, that's why it's number three, all right? It's gonna get better, hold on. It's getting a lot better. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Isn't that a compliment? It's out of scripture. Ladies, whose hearts skip to beat? No one? Ish. Guys, I'm not doing so well here. My number one. Yeah. Your teeth. Yeah, we're going there. Are like a flock of shorn ewes. What is that? I don't know. That have come up from the washing. Okay? All of which bear twins. And not one among them has lost its young. Guys, that's really deep. That's so much better than, can I have your number? I lost mine. That kind of stuff. Okay? Out of scripture. Listen, let's go on, guys. Humor is God. God loves humor. Isn't that amazing? We're a humorous bunch. If you've been around us for a while, you realize we are a bit crazy. At other times, we're stupid. But you can love us if you dig deep. Can we go on to that next slide? But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. Wow. God's plan for your life, for a marriage, for your family, for the intimacy that will be in your marriage bed, if you're married today or someday if you're not married, God has got something to say about that. He's not waiting out of our bedrooms when we are married and there's intimacy. Okay? God has got stuff planned for us. We find out, a lot of us have found out, including myself, have found out how it works out when I plan it all myself. And at best, it's average or it sucks. And I bump my head. But let me just throw this out there. God loves you so much and He has a plan for your life. I want you to know that. I want you to get it that He loves you, that He's madly in love and crazy about you, and when He thinks about you, He's got the best plan laid out. What you have to do is put all your trust in Him. But let me just say this, if you put your trust in Him, it's going to cost you many things. Because remember what we said in the first sermon series, part one of redeeming your story. If you live with a vision and you're going somewhere, if you want to follow God in this, you're going to have to say no to certain other things. Did you know that? The Bible says where there's no vision, there's no restraint. In other words, anything goes, wherever the wind blows, whatever I feel, all right? But as soon as you say, God, I want to trust you, and you start to walk with a vision, you need to make decisions. And I pray in your heart that Jesus will speak to you so that amazing things will happen in your life and so that you can have a marriage like I have today. Because I made those decisions in my first year at Varsity. That I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to say no to anything that's going to get me off that vision. I had great friends that helped me. Loki Strijantop. Loki's my friend. He wasn't raised with him. Give Loki a clap. Welcome, Loki. All the way from Shofar, Somerset West. Awesome to have you here. We basically lived together and helped each other follow God. A lot of you guys, some of you know Chili. He's the pastor at Shofar Poch. We used to be in the same section at Rez. And really said, guys, let's help one another become the men we can be. Where are you at your journey? Do you have friends like that? That's not my sermon, but I want to throw it out there. Get some friends. Is sex just physical? Of course you know the answer, but that's the question. That's the thing that gets projected on us by our friends. Katie, Madonna, and the girls, all right? And some of the guys. Now, the previous time I read from Corinthians, because Paul had to spend a lot of time, Paul wrote Corinthians, to help these guys figure it out. They were not originally Jews. They were not God's people. They didn't have the law of God. They were all over the place. Remember, they got drunk at communion, okay? These are not people you take to your parents' house if they meet them, all right? Now, Paul is writing to them, and he's explaining to them the weight of sexual intimacy. That's what he's trying to do. We're going to go there in a second. He wants them to understand something about God's design, and this is what he says. 1 Corinthians 6 from verse 16. I'm going to read slowly. Just follow with me. Some of you that's making notes, good luck with the doc. Love your commitment. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? All right? Not because she's a prostitute, but because they joined in sexual intimacy, all right? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. You can see these guys going, excuse me, become one flesh? We're having sex. You're talking about becoming one and stuff. This is just something. I go back home to my family now. I'm just here at the temple doing what guys from Greece do. This has got nothing about being one. Paul writes, listen, there's a oneness that comes with sexual intimacy. And he goes on. And now he's actually, in a way, making an analogy. He's saying, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. This is huge. Huge. Paul writes and he says, when you give your heart to God, you become one with him. Do you know that? You are one with Jesus Christ. That's why you still suck and God loves you. He says that. I suck more, okay? But when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. We are one. And it's not the same thing, but he's painting a picture. He says in the same way when two people come together, there's an intimacy, there's a oneness that happens when two people have sex. It is supernatural. Just like it is supernatural, total different thing, for one man to become one with God and experiencing God very intimately, very closely, experiencing, some of you, while we were singing tonight, some of you were maybe have never been in a charismatic church, so you've been a bit freaked out. Happened to all of us. You all look as if you survived it. Great stuff. Some of you maybe were a bit freaked out, but you actually felt warmth in your heart. It's God comforting you, saying, hey, it's going to be okay. That thing that you brought before God in prayer, he's going to be there. There is a oneness. And now God comes and he is the creator of sex. Did you know that? He thought it out. All right? And he says there's a type of oneness that happens between a man and his wife when they come together. All right? It's not the same thing as meeting God, but there is this oneness that's the same. Now, let's go on. And so he helps them. He says, so here's what you do. Flee from sexual immorality. Guys, don't waste this. All right? Don't waste this amazing oneness, firstly, that you have with God. Okay? So the Bible says, hey, worship no other God. Okay? But when it comes to your sexual life, God says, don't waste that. There's supposed to also be one, just like this one God. All right? This is so precious. Guard it with your life. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. This is such an interesting statement. This does not mean that people that comes from a past or at this moment is sexually active in a way that's sinful. That doesn't mean they are worse sinners than any other person who has not accepted Jesus, all right? Every single one of us, doesn't matter where you are in life, you need to turn to Jesus. Are we on one page about with that? All Paul is saying there is a different effect on you when this precious thing gets used in a way that's going to hurt you. All right? And it goes on. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Wow. You are not your own. That's such a... What I'm trying to do with this piece, I'm going to be very short tonight, is if you sitting here and you're thinking, whoa, this is big, then I'm happy, all right? I want you to feel the weight of this. I want you to feel the weight and the beauty and the magnitude of this gift that God has given us, all right? So if you're a bit blown away or a bit scared, that's good. Okay? For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Okay. I'm going to go over this very fast. You as a human being, every one of us, if you're alive and you're breathing, you are primarily a what? We did foundation one, starting point. It's coming up this Wednesday. Those who've done it before, primarily, what are you? You're a louder spirit. Thank you, Rowena. You are a spirit. Why? Your spirit is the part of you that will live forever. Your body will fade away. Yesterday I was running after a ball in a stupid rugby field. I've got back pain, knee pain, and head pain. All right? It's okay. My body's not going to make it all the way, but my spirit will. Okay? People do different types of stuff to preserve their body, planting all kinds of stuff in. I don't know what else. It will fade away at one day. It doesn't matter what you plant in or inject. All right? But your spirit will live forever. Isn't that amazing? And what's the other part? You have a soul. Now, people confuse your soul with your spirit. Your soul is different. Your soul is your feelings, what you feel. Is what you feel always right? No. Your soul is deceitful. That's why David said, be still my soul. Okay? So who should guide your soul? Your spirit that gets fed by the Word of God and by praying and being in a church and fellowshipping. You grow what we call your spirit man. Now, all three of those faculties, okay, of who you consist of is engaged in the marriage bed. All three. Not just your body. God has blessed the marriage bed to such an extent that when two people come together, the intimacy is so deep, something happens that you cannot only do with your flesh, with your body. He brings a blessing on it. It engages your soul and your spirit and your body. I don't want to go into it too much, but the Bible encourages married couples to be together often. Why? Because something happens in your heart. You come into unity. When you are together, suddenly just the fight from this afternoon or the muti mi roivies of blovies, it's not as important as our unity. And the marriage bed is so amazing. God gives it to us. It often heals. You know, did you know sex was supposed to be a healing thing for married couples? It's so easy to preach on all the brokenness it brings, but you know what? It was meant to heal and make good between a husband and a wife. Okay? But what's very important is everything is involved. That's why, I'm being blunt, like I say, Madonna says her thing, I'll say my thing. That's why you cannot, it's very difficult to fight with your wife, scream at her, she screams at you, and then you guys go and have sex. It doesn't work like that. It's not just a bodily thing. Your soul and your spirit must be connected. Something must be there. God must be there, all right? Now, so is it only physical? No. It's a lie. And you know what, guys, and that's why I'm so glad of for all the men here that's willing to stand up and follow Christ. We must protect the ladies in our church. Because the world wants to make women out as a commodity. You're just a thing. So put on your nice dress, girly, take a selfie and post it so we can see it. Because you're just a thing. That's so rubbish. It was meant for healing, for companionship, and an amazing intimacy that only God can bless. It's not just physical. Are you with me? Why? Andy Stanley asks a few questions, and I thought it's amazing. I need to just echo his words. Why is it on this question? No, Pastor, you're just weird. Sex is only physical, okay? I've got this friend, but she's not my wife. I really love my wife. What happens there is only physical. It's not just physical. I'm going to ask you two questions. Why is it that when a man sleeps with a woman and they're not married, okay, and it doesn't work out? I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying she's a bad girl. I'm just saying they get into bed and it's not working out, okay? And the relationship ends. Why is it that the hurt is so deep if it's only physical? To the point that that event might actually alter the life of that woman or man. Why? If it's only physical, then it should have been just like someone slapped you on your face, maybe kicked you in your ribs and walk off. It is different. Why is it when a little girl gets sexually abused in a home by a family member or a friend, whatever, and she comes to an age where she realizes what actually happened to her, it gets revealed to her, she's now old enough and she remembered what happened in that room. Why is it that it is so devastating to that person? If it was only physical, then there would be nothing. She'd just move on. She was, someone offended her against her in such a deep way, it's not even imaginable. Sex is not physical. It reaches deep into your heart. And some of you have experienced this. I just want to say, God heals, all right? Only thing is, you're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to look in the mirror and say, God, I have messed up, but heal me now. And He will. He's ready to heal. Amen? Awesome. So I want to say this, to the depth to which the intimacy in a marriage bed blesses a couple, okay, deeper than just a nice feeling, or deeper than just physical, to the same depth it can hurt, all right? And that's why we must watch over our bodies and give it to God. Are you with me? Awesome. Is it Biki still in the plek, ne? Take your mic langs jou and say, you need to be seen as we see. Ben, jy kan nou maar relax, jy is getroud. She was meant to be protected, all right? You guys, you are meant to be protected. So the first point I just want to make tonight, we only have three, is sex is not just physical. Okay, if you know that tonight, if you can explain to someone at work, if you can have a conversation just with someone and say, you don't even have to remember all the words, but if you can say, and there's this conversation at the office, and say, but guys, that's really a sacred thing. Are they joking around, calling names to the secretary or another lady and joking with her because of her appearance or because making her out as an object? You just step, you don't have to hit someone, please, Ben. Just chill out and just tell them, you know what, guys, that is a very sacred thing we're talking about now. Just give them a shock. You can be very kind because it's true. And we need to stand up for the ladies. Thanks, guys, that you are so brave. I want to take you to one of the pieces in the Bible that is so close to my heart because it explains this thing in so many levels through a story. This is not a mom saying, "Yeah, you mean I could do it." This is a story, and you can see for yourself. Now, Steph, I think they've got from verse 13 of 2 Samuel, and I was on purpose. I actually wanted to read out of my Bible a bit, but it was a bit difficult with the lights. So I'm just going to read from my Bible app, and the first 12 verses you won't have, but I want you to just enjoy the story, all right? And enjoy where it takes us. Now, Absalom, David's son. Listen, when I read out of the Old Testament, I always hope there's no, you know, those names that no one can pronounce. Then I look like a fool in front of you guys. So pray for me that there will be no such weird names. Let's go. Now, Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister. This is not starting well. Whose name was Tamar. Not Tamar, ni? Just Tamar. Okay, T-A-M-R. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. It was from another woman. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was, here's the first one, Jonadab. All right. The son of Shimei, David's brother. Are you with me? If you laugh, you're going to read, okay? And Jonadab was a very crafty man. Yes, that's so interesting, these little words. And he said to him, "O son of the king." Now Jonadab is speaking to Amnon. "Why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said to him, "Lie down in your bed and pretend to be ill." Here comes the craftiness now. Those lies that turn the hearts, those promises, those schemes, promises the world and then only leave someone with pain. Here it starts. "Now lie down in your bed, pretend to be ill, and when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat from her hand.' So Amnon lay down and pretend to be ill, and when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, 'Please let my sister,'" he repeats himself, "'Please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I might see.'" He's also, he's not very grateful because he was happy with a piece of bread and now he wants cake. Okay, let's go on. "'A couple of cakes in my sight that I might eat from her hand.' Then David said, sent home to Tamar saying, 'Go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him.' So Tamar went to her brother's Amnon's house where he was lying down." I know you guys know this, all right? But a lady, friend, cool pal, missions pal, she lost nothing in your room, all right, guys? It's just a respect thing, okay? Protect your testimony, all right? Because this is where it starts. "So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house where he was lying down, and she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, 'Send everyone from me.' So everyone went out from him." There's the second point. Okay, he planned for them to be alone. So there's no one there. All right. "Then Amnon said to Tamar, 'Bring the food into the chamber that I might eat from your hand.' And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said, 'Come lie with me, my sister.'" Okay? And she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where could I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." So she says, let's marry then. Let's do this before God and before my dad, the king. Let's do this, okay? Let's get married. But he would not listen to her, and being stronger than she is, he violated her to lay with her. I think you can follow me now, am I right? Let me just jump over on my slides. I'm taking some time with this. This is very good. Then Amnon hated her with a very great hatred. Is only me that's astounded by this? Thirsting after her, dragging her into bed, making a crafty plan with Jonadab, and then just after they slept together, Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up and go." But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this is wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him and said, "Put this woman out of my presence," and bolt the door after her. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her. This is very, very, very sad. Second point I want to make is this. Sex in God's plan or in God's order is wonderful builder. It's a builder. Outside, it's a breaker. Sorry for my spelling. It's broken. Not a broken. If there's a friend, maybe you've got a friend that's at the place and you counsel them and you really love them and they're at a place where she wants to make a big decision. He doesn't want to marry her really, but he wants her to move in and stuff. You'll be a good friend to them at this stage. You say, that's not the best. That's not the best for you. There's a few things that God says. He says, I'm giving you this thing to heal. I'm giving you this thing to bring you together and to be great. But the moment what happens with Amnon, or when it's outside of God's will, it cannot be that. So what happens? He comes with an expectation. Amnon, she's going to do something for me. I need her. She's the most amazing virgin in Israel. I want her. And as soon as they are together, what he expected to happen did not happen. And that's what will happen with intimacy outside of marriage. It cannot be what it was intended to be. It is broken. And so it might have been that the two of you is actually a good couple, and in God's hand you can do amazing things. But because of this thing, he is not happy with you. So you are so upset about his phone, because you suspect he's looking around because he's not happy. He's getting frustrated because, why are you pressing on me? Why don't you trust me? Something is broken. And it will remain broken. And so she gets hurt and he walks away because she was not the right one. And in his heart, he desires the next. And the story repeats. All right? Protect what God has given you so dearly, with your whole heart. If today you are here, when I turned to God, this area of my life was in shambles, then you're here. And if you turn to him, he will help you. Sex will stay broken outside of God's plan. It cannot be what it was intended to be. So there's something wrong, there's something missing. Why is he frustrated? Why is she jealous? All right? Are you guys following me? So 3, maak nou die kop skud, great, great. Here's just the thing I had up last year as well with Relationship Week, and it's the third last slide. I want to show you what God has for you, and it doesn't matter who you are today, this is still valid for you if you turn to Him today and follow Him. When it comes to intimacy, when it comes to sex, this is what God wants, and that's the enemy's plan for you. He wants you, that is God, to experience intimacy on the basis of privacy and trust. That is amazing outside this world. And you will never have it outside of marriage. And I'll tell you why, because there's also always a chance that he will go. All right? What the enemy wants for you is to doubt. All right? What's even worse with that doubt is that intimacy becomes a bargaining tool. All right? It's no longer a blessing. It's actually bringing destruction. When it comes to exclusivity, there's something in my marriage and in every marriage that follows God that is out of this world. There will never be anyone else. There will never be anyone else. I don't care what anyone else looks like. I don't care what anyone else say. You are the one I decided to marry. I put a ring on your finger. I was not forced. Exclusivity. Ladies flourish in exclusivity, guys. This was meant to be exclusive. And with the enemy's plan, it seems in the relationship that there's options. Will he go? Will he stay? Is there another guy, you know, making contact with her? Or are they just friends? There's just constant thing that hangs in the air. And then God's goal when it comes to sexuality was for wholeness, guys. And once again, doesn't matter who you are as you came into this building, you can change this. If you turn to God, He will heal this thing. God's goal is wholeness, safety, and freedom. Marriage bed is supposed to be a place of absolute trust and safety. That just sounds right, all right? And then that's the enemy's plan. Okay, so number 3, God's plan is that your experience with intimacy will be out of this world. But that's God's plan that you must accept. As easy as that. Is sex amazing? Depends. God's plan or not. Is the marriage bed blessed? Depends. Is there honesty? Is there love? Is there trust? I don't know. But God says, if you turn to me, I will make all things new. Can we have the last slide up there? This is amazing. This is amazing. Guys, if you want an amazing marriage, radical decisions must be made. Half-baked decisions, half-baked marriage. You will sow what you reap. But this is what he says. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done and how I've hurt her or him. And I was a liar or whatever. He wants to make you new, and he can do it if you turn to him. There's living proof and testimonies of this church, in this church, of God doing this. Amen? Turn to Him. If you're in a difficult situation, if you're not sure what's going on, go and talk to someone in this church that's got a blessed marriage and ask them to help you. If you turn to Him, He will make you new. That's the best news in the world. Why is this great news? I'm saying some stuff that makes some of you feel a bit warm and uncomfortable, but the reason we're saying what we're saying is this. You don't have to carry on like that. How old are we here? 20, 30, 25? We're young, guys. You don't have to carry on like this. We can turn to Him tonight. And everything will change. Amen? Let's stand up in this place tonight.